Hello, podcasters.
Aloha.
Aloha. Very Hawaiian there, Chris.
Well, I had a teacher from Hawaii for a while, an exchange teacher, and she tells me that my name has some sort of Hawaiian origin, I think. Well, there was a Hawaiian meaning of it, or a Hawaiian version of it, or something like that.
Most names have a version for other languages.
I suppose they do.
You just take the syllables and translate them roughly into a similar-sounding syllable in that native tongue.
That's quite logical, actually, isn't it? I'm a bit embarrassed.
Yep, you should be. Casey and Chris here introducing the third episode of Left, Right and Centre in 2009.
And it's a pretty brilliant show this week. I think. You know, we say some pretty brilliant things. Yeah. We're generally extremely, extremely talented conversationalists, I think you'll find.
Yes. Extremely talented conversationalists.
You know, we could have a conversation about a chair leg. It would sound, you know, very erudite and intellectual and wonderful, and that would be good.
What's your favourite chair leg?
I sort of like a tapered chair leg.
I like the back left one.
Casey, you've just completely disproven everything I was trying to say about us being...
When I lean back...
The back left one.
Yeah.
I understand what you mean.
Would you prefer southwest? Is that more erudite for you?
No. Sucks so much. God. Okay.
Okay.
Let's ignore that. Let's talk about what we have to talk about.
Yeah. The show.
Obviously, you podcasters, you haven't been listening live, which I think is a bit stupid, but what can you do?
Listen live, that's what you could do.
Oh, that's true. If you can't listen live, you're listening now, we appreciate it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. We don't really appreciate it. I think I don't really like you very much if you're listening here, but...
Don't be like... Don't go to sleep. Maybe you're international. Stream it online. Radio.adelaide.edu.au. Yeah. Don't go to work. Don't go visit the zoo or whatever it is you're doing.
Just listen
online.
Yeah. I mean, okay, sure, you could be getting married.
Yeah.
If that's the case, just play...
If you're getting
right...
married on Left, Right and Centre Day.
No. Well, I just think you just play Left, Right and Centre as the theme tune to your wedding.
As the bridal march.
As the bridal march, yeah. Or the bridal waltz. It'd be quite good
to
dance to. It's quite dancey, Left, Right and Centre. Yeah. My voice is quite musical, I think.
Maybe for next week we'll investigate doing a dance remix of the podcast.
That would be... I would really enjoy that, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime,
the Facebook group Left, Right and Centre, the email address leftrightandcentre@live.com.au.
Or the website studentradio.wordpress.com.
That's all there is. There isn't any more.
Student Radio may contain coarse language and adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, folks. It's Left, Right and Centre.
Again.
We're still here.
What a long 7 days that was. What a long 168 hours it was without hearing our voices.
Just testing some experimental music there.
Yeah.
Bit of a nice touch. Hope you like that, guys. We've got a lot coming up on the show today. I suppose we should introduce ourselves first.
That's the first thing we should do, ever since we forgot to do that the first week.
Confusion reigned.
We did forget that, but now we've remembered. I'm Chris. I have a pretty noticeable voice, I think. Yeah.
I'm Casey. My voice is completely indistinct.
Yeah, I'm Timothy. I think I have a nice voice.
I could introduce myself as someone different, but the other three guys have introduced themselves already. I'm Matteo. Hi, guys.
You could have said, like, I'm Chris, and then there'd be a lack of clarity about whether...
Maybe I am Chris. No.
I'm also Chris.
I can't. We're all Chris.
There are four
me. Let's not be messing this up.
Tim, are you also Chris?
No, I'm not Chris.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Once again tonight, Confusion's cuisine has reigned supreme. Yeah.
What are we talking about tonight, guys?
We've got bikies.
We're going to have a bit of a chat about the...
Big, burly, beefy, bikies. So,
I should clarify, we don't actually have bikies.
Yeah,
we
shouldn't be promising stuff that we don't have. But we're going to have a chat about the bikie legislation that's just recently been activated.
Enacted by the RAN government of South Australia.
Those of you who are students might remember at O-Week, there's something called White Fear. We'll be talking about whether that should be banned in a new segment coming up.
And some of the guys, if you're students, you might run something called On D. We're speaking to one of the editors, hopefully, fingers crossed.
We said we'd play it last week. Technical problems beset us.
But actually it doesn't work so badly, because technical problems have beset On D itself as well.
Yes, they've had a delay in their production process.
Yeah, but
should be out tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, soon. That's what we're hoping. And also, a big issue we're going to talk about today is... It's been, I suppose, indirectly in the news lately. We'll follow that up when we're talking about it. But we're going to get a bit of a run with the censorship.
It's come from the school shooting largely.
Actually, Casey, I'll have to cut you off there. No. I don't think you're allowed to say that on radio. And I think we have to cut to a track now.
Do we? All right. Let's do that then.
This is student radio at Adelaide Uni on 101.5.
During the show, give us your feedback on the Facebook group Left, Right and Centre through the email address leftrightandcentre@live.com.au, and you can also visit the blog studentradio.wordpress.com. We read your comments and emails as you write them.
Yeah, it's all
I've got
awesome.
A computer sitting right next to me.
It's very interactive, he does.
It is, and if I like what I see, I will read it out loud.
I've actually got key loggers set up on some of my friends' computers so that I can actually read it as they type the keys.
Oh, wow. And also get their credit card details.
Yeah.
Now, we have bikies.
Yes. We're going to have a bit of chat about the new bikie legislation, specifically the... Oh, I've forgotten what the name of the act is, but anyway, I think it's the Serious
and Organised Crime Control Act 2017.
That's the one. Thank you very much,
Casey.
Very
knowledgeable of you.
We're going to have a bit of a chat about that. So the issues around that, I think, should a government be able to declare organisations illegal? What do you think, Christopher?
I have a problem with... I think... In certain circumstances, yes. Like, global terrorist groups, I don't have a problem with that. The KKK, honestly, I don't have a problem with that being banned. But I think...
General nuisances? Do you have a problem with them being banned?
I find it more problematic because there are some things about this law... I was having a conversation with Tim about this earlier in the day, and there are a few things that are particularly problematic. Like, the Attorney General can basically stipulate an organisation he believes is at least partially a criminal organisation, and then they can apply to the court to have the person, prohibited from... I think, associating with specific people and being in certain places. Is that right, Tim?
Yeah. The specifics of this act, I think, have been lost in all of the politics of it, which I think is something we will get to later. But essentially, yeah, the Attorney General can declare an organisation to be illegal, and he can do that without going to the court or going to a judge. And he can also place certain control orders on individuals and prohibiting them from associating with any people. Essentially, he likes them.
We see this is where I have some sort of problem where effectively the legal status of many of these organisations is at the discretion of one person. I mean, important the role of being the Attorney General is. It just seems,
He has advisors.
For it to be subjective discretion, and also because the thing is, the bikies are not sort of avowedly, they don't set out to do illegal things. As far as I can tell, there actually exists a schism. Just a second, Chris. Within a lot of South Australian bikie groups, between the law-abiding ones and the ones who actually do those illegal actions, which are acted upon. And Chris.
Well, actually, you've just clarified your statement. I don't disagree with it, because it sort of sounded like you were saying bikies don't set out to do any illegal things, whereas certainly some of them do, because some of them are involved in the drug trade, for instance. But you qualified your statement. The only thing I'd say is that I'd sort of build on what you said by pointing out that the fact that the Attorney General can do that is more problematic for me than if it was the court system, because the judiciary, operates on the basis of common law and precedents, and there are... there are several judges who could, have a bearing on the thing, and it just doesn't seem like... It seems like almost too much power in one person's hands. I don't know if that's fair, but...
I'd like to say I think I've kept a little bit quiet on this one, but as opposed to you guys who've got a bit of reservations, I've got to say, if this is exactly the kind of law that I like to see in place in South Australia, and Mike Rand said he wants to go to COAG, the meeting with the... other leaders of the other states and the federal government to try and get these laws all over Australia, and New South Wales is actually heading in that direction at the moment. I don't have a problem with organisations that are, in large part associated with or used to facilitate criminal actions. And also, I would say that if it's going to be in the hands of one person to make that decision, I would rather it be in an elected representative like the Attorney General than in unelected and unaccountable members of the judiciary.
But then I'm really thinking, I'm disagreeing and saying that I think it impinges on the right of freedom of association. I mean, just last weekend there was a meeting, a freedom run they call, of 600 different bikies from around the state, and of many different clubs, obviously a lot of which are opposed. A lot of them really dislike one another. Rand called intimidation, but intimidation, of course, it's intimidating when you have 600, guys in, the stereotype leather jackets and bikes, but that they were protesting these laws, which they think are unfair for them, and they were really slighted upon further.
And I'd also like to point out that, you know, like I was saying, they can. Tim pointed out to me earlier that they can actually be prohibited from attending a certain event. And in theory, that's not technically a massive problem. But the fact is, also the standard of proof, I understand, is lower than in... Like, that the standard of proof is that the decision can be made on a balance of probabilities rather than when reasonable, like beyond reasonable doubt is established.
Yeah, that's one of the things that struck me when I was sitting down to read the legislation this afternoon. Unlike the majority of criminal law... As best I know, this is the first time I've ever seen it. The standard of proof that's required in this is actually what's normally used in civil cases, whereas the balance of probabilities to be convicted under this legislation, it does not have to be proved beyond reasonable doubt.
Is it a
doubt.
Criminal offence or a civil offence?
No, they're criminal. It's criminal offences. It's a criminal offense, act. Yeah. There's maximum prison. Maximum penalty is imprisonment for 5 years under all provisions in this act, from my reading, and there was no that was pretty exhaustive. The standard of proof is not.
So
reasonable doubt.
If it's decided that there's a 51% chance that I am associating with this criminal bikie organisation,
and it's not just that, if you associate with someone who's had like six individuals or one individual six times who's had a control order placed within in the last 12 months, then you can be, I suppose, questioned or
you have committed an offence.
Can I just say, perhaps a final thing, or perhaps we can keep going. I think this legislation is more politics than policy. I would say it's good politics, especially from the perspective of the beleaguered RAN government, perhaps, to be seen to be creating these monsters and then knocking them down to keep, you know, the populace safe and secure from the boogeymen that are the bikers.
Tim, can I just ask you a final question? Because often we disagree, but I think... So regardless of whether you think that the legislation itself is unfair, do you think that the bit about the standard of proof, do you think that might be going too far?
I'm a little bit shaky about that in some parts of the law, but I do think in terms of declaring an organisation to be illegal, I think that's the kind of situation where I don't have a problem with balance of probabilities being used. But in terms of the offences like associating with people, I'm still a little uncomfortable about that.
This is one of those issues that it's one of those minefield moral, ethical, well as
practical.
It's a really strange issue. Are they playing party politics? Do they legitimately think this is going to help? If you've got something you'd like to say about it, email us leftrightandcentre@live.com.au. Hit us up on the Facebook group. We've got a discussion thread on there. We'd really love to hear what you think they have to say about it.
But as for right now, we have an interview. Now.
Yeah. Vincent Coleman, he's one of the co-editors of Adelaide University's student
really
newspaper.
Really cool guy, can I just say. Yeah, nice guy, Vincent. Hello.
Yeah, he's got a nice beard.
Yeah.
During O-Week, about 3 weeks ago, I spoke to him and I asked him how he was enjoying his new role as a co-editor.
It's brilliant. It is the most stressful thing, yet the most fun thing I've ever done at uni, I think.
Yeah. You've made some changes to the format to 1D this year. What were your reasonings for changing, making it the glossy format?
The glossy format just came because we've got a new printing deal with the university, where the union is bundling our printing with their printing. So basically, we got given specs and said, you're getting glossy paper, and we just haggled with them for a few extra glossy pages in the middle. But it got given to us, but we're happy with it. We decided to use it to clean up the image a bit. Some people didn't like the messiness of it, the chaotic layout. So we've tidied that up a bit, and we've had nothing but compliments.
You've launched the first issue the other day at O-Week, yes? And so you've had good feedback from that?
Yeah, we've had excellent feedback. There's pretty much no editions left. It's Wednesday. Half of them were gone by Monday morning. We distributed 1,800 copies in about 20 minutes, and they're just flying off. We're running out of copies to give away now.
So you're working on the next issue now, are we?
Next edition is pretty much done. We're feverishly taking it in shifts, drinking beer at the lawns or in the office, pounding away in the computers. And deadline for the third edition's Friday, so...
Okay, so this is the second edition. What's the theme for this one?
Second edition's festival theme, to tie in with The Fringe, with Big Day Out, with O-Week, with everything like that. And third edition's going to be the infamous LD, which is the woman's edition.
Vincent Coleman, co-editor of On D, speaking to me during O-Week. We've had a couple of people write into the Facebook group. Jordan's written in saying, you should ban left, right, and ... The rest of this message has been declared illegal by the Attorney General.
I don't think Jordan actually said that. That was actually the Attorney General
ruling. Well, yeah, I assume that the Attorney General has infiltrated Facebook.
And also, can I just say that Jordan did not write dot, dot, dot.
Well, he wrote hyphen, 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 hyphen.
And actually, this is an interesting tie-in with censorship we'll be talking about later, because if
the Attorney General... We also had Michael write in, and he said, you should keep left, right, and bracket. The rest of this message is probably pornography. Filtered.
We have perhaps the cleverest listeners around.
Yeah, we love you guys so much. Now, white fear is allegedly an Adelaide University tradition. It's one of those things that happens at O-Week all the time, O-Camp,
apparently Adelaide University. Just at Adelaide Uni, apparently.
Yeah, not even at Eastern States or anything. Basically, what it is a milk drinking contest. What the contestants have to do is, contestants or subjects, I like to call them, victims, they have to drink 4 litres of milk in the fastest time. First person to drink the 4 litres wins. The trick being, you can't drink 4 litres, the stomach just isn't that big. So in order to drink 4 litres, you have to expel some of the milk from your system, usually via your mouth, i.e. vomiting.
And I think, I feel very strongly on this, we should ban white fear.
Absolutely, we should ban white fear. Ban the whole, haven't done our content warning yet, ban it, it's a disgrace. I mean, you know, not only is it putting the subjects, the victims, themselves at danger... they're making public spectacles of themselves. They're making public spectacles.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. People should be able to do whatever they want with their bodies.
No, but this is what this is, right? It, you know, to say nothing of the liabilities in terms of the potential for injury and harm on the subjects, as you put it, Christopher.
Can I just come back to what Matteo said about banning it because it's, you know, they're making spectacles of themselves? This is the beginning of what might lead to a, you know, like a nanny state, a dictatorship. Of totalitarian control. That's what Matteo is advocating. He's saying people shouldn't be able to do what they like with their own bodies whenever they want, and I frankly think it is absurd.
Well, if a nanny state means we don't have to clean up vomit sick from all over our nice sandstone campus, well, they didn't use a bucket.
No,
did you see the white fear itself? I saw quite a few patches of vomit around the place.
I'm sure they have difficulty aiming it all in a bucket. And hell, I don't want to be seeing that on the Barsmith lawns, and I think...
Look, milk is full of calcium, right? Calcium is good for you, good for your bones, good for building strength.
Throwing up is not good for you.
Throwing up cleans out your system of toxins.
Yes, which you shouldn't have put in there in the first place.
But it still helps. Like, assuming there are toxins in your system, you're getting rid of them. And I think you have to look at this from a utilitarian point of view. What is the greater good? The greater good is the calcium, you know, additionally with you know, the expelling of toxins. And
This is not to the benefit of those who take part in it, Chris.
I think you'll find it is.
I think pretty much everyone is worse off.
You
lose most of the calcium.
You yourself said it was a spectacle. Everyone watching enjoys it.
I'm disgusted by it. You know, the people drinking themselves, they lose the milk, they lose the calcium, they lose the carrot, because vomit always has carrot in it.
I'm tired.
Only if you've eaten carrot.
No, that's not true.
I'd put to you that if it were, you know, such a terrible thing... there wouldn't be so many people volunteering to do it. I spoke to someone, like an O-Week organiser, who said they had to turn people away. I think
that's more a reflection on the students. Anyway.
Yeah, there's
So you're judging the students. Yeah. You're saying they don't know what they should be able to, you know.
I reserve that
nanny
right.
state, Chris. We're just talking about that, yeah?
Yeah, you're both just ridiculous. I don't know what you're saying.
And we feel exactly the same way about you guys.
I don't think we're going to agree.
We're not even agreeing to disagree. Which no.
Student radio at O-Week on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. As studious as you are.
That's Army There by Ben Folds 5.
Tim likes that song. He was trumpeting
really
along.
I like that song. I love it when the trumpets come in. Oh, so good. Matteo.
Well, as promised earlier in the show, we're going to talk with you. Well, we're going to talk amongst ourselves a little bit about censorship. Now, obviously, we don't want to get too involved in...
big issue, isn't it?
It's a really big issue. We want to try and do it justice, but we don't want to get involved too much in the intro. Basically, long story short, the Tim Kretschmer was the name of the 17-year-old boy, I suppose, or young man, behind the recent school shootings in Germany. It turns out, actually, that he was spending the night before playing Far Cry 2, a pretty violent console game. And... yeah, I mean, the video game industry, look, it's been used so often in the past as a scapegoat for, you know, social ills. I mean, senators in the past, Joe Lieberman has been pretty...
Scathing
about it. He's been pretty loud about this in years gone by, about really them promoting, them resulting in violent, aggressive, hostile behaviour.
Is it a legitimate argument that video games are the cause of this? I mean, because Tim Kretschmer, he was wearing the same uniform they were in the game... use the same gun as they use in the game Far Cry 2, the game rewards shooting enemies in the head.
Which is how he chose
Which is how he chose to do the deed.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose. Yeah. Look, I certainly think, I mean, that would suggest some sort of link between him and how he chose to do it. So it gave him a method, but I'd make a case that a game won't compel someone.
That the causal relationship isn't there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So it might help him figure out how he's going to do it. But if someone isn't inclined to shoot shoot 15 people, it's not like they're going to go out and do it. There are plenty of responsible people who play games anyway. You know.
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues when it comes to the things like this. These big social issues about whether or not some things cause others, and the difficulty with this is. It's very difficult to distinguish between causation and correlation. There may be many circumstances in which people who are prone to violence may be drawn towards video games, and that in that circumstance the relationship isn't causal. What I would say about this is, I've read a lot of the research, and I can't say I'm an expert in the field, but I do also feel with things like some of these violent video games, I have the same sort of objection to some of the television shows I see now, that they kind of glorify violence and can also make it acceptable.
Yeah.
Is it enough? Back to what you said a minute ago. Is it enough, though, to give them the method if someone goes, if, say, person X goes home from school feeling shit about their day, they just, as teenagers do, want to lash out, they see this method. Like, say in the United States, father's got a gun out in the shed. Well, is that enough for them to act out on their kind of emotion?
Well, you see, I would say no, and going back to what Tim said before about the difficulty in establishing causation, I think that you can't legislate on the basis of the actions of certain, be they, depraved individuals. Like Kretschmer, sure, he had... problems. Like, obviously, he would have to have had problems. But the thing is, having played Far Cry 2, I don't know, maybe he had, a really shit game. Yeah, he accidentally forgot to save or something before turning the console off. That was not the main reason he did those things did.
No, of course. Not playing the game itself, but would having played the game in his emotional state have pushed him over the edge?
I think...
Whereas he might not have. He might have,
I'd say no, but because I don't think... I think if someone has the psychological potential to do that, they might do it anyway. They might find another way of doing it, like another outlet. But the risk with these things is, if the things it provides is too specific, then it might provide people. It might help people become maybe more effective at doing something than they would be otherwise. Like, I recall that Fight Club originally had, because how it had a thing of a way to make bombs out of like soap powder and all sorts of things. Originally, they used the actual recipe for the bomb making process in the film, but it was ruled that they had to take they had to take it out because obviously there's a lot of danger there. And I think what you have to do is be careful about how specific and detailed the thing is. Maybe it's a bit hard to do though, I suppose.
I think the difficulty with that though is for a lot of people, and I say this, I'm not a huge player of the sort of modern shooter video games, but I know a lot of people who are, and I know a lot of people who get a lot of enjoyment out of this. And I think what goes to the core of this issue is if we could say that, there is some relationship here, how then do we weigh up the enjoyment and, should the vast majority of people be punished for the behaviour of the few? And how does society weigh that up?
I think that's a very good point, Tim.
All right, guys. Time for this. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Two women from LaGrange, North Carolina, have been charged with trafficking marijuana after using their family dollar store, effectively the American equivalent of a $2 shop, as a dope warehouse. According to the local sheriff's office, the investigation began when local law enforcement received a tip-off that two large bags of marijuana had been dropped off at the store. Quote, "The marijuana has a street value of approximately $35,000, a spokesman for the sheriff's office said, continuing with, "It was about the only thing in the store you couldn't buy for $1. Matteo, would you rather $35,000 worth of pot or the entire contents of a $1 store?"
Well, you guys know me. I'm a rational sort of fellow, being a student of economics. So the first question, the only question I would have to ask, is are there over 35,000 goods available in that store? Because if so, then my total utility gained from purchasing all those goods for $35,000.
Do the repeat items factor into it? I mean, you'll get maybe 1,000 plastic rollers?
Oh, well, look, it's all quality stuff.
Talking about the total volume, but can I just say... I'm a bit angry about this story because, and I think Tim is too, we both expressed the fact that, frankly...
We think we're pretty funny here on Left, Right and Centre, but there's just nothing more we can do with that story. That line from the sheriff, the sheriff spokesman, that just
I don't have anything else to say.
Keepers at a bird sanctuary in West Sussex have given up hope of mating the last surviving female blue duck in the UK with either of two males at the sanctuary after neither showed any interest. Instead, the female, curiously named Cherry, was left to her own devices, while the two males, idiotically named Ben and Jerry, have become inseparable. Reportedly, Ben and Jerry's relationship started when they were placed in the same enclosure. They stay together all the time, parading up and down their enclosure and whistling to each other, as a male might do with a female he wants to mate with, the sanctuary warden commented. He further admitted that while it was disappointing that neither male had mated with Cherry, she didn't seem too bothered by it, and further commented that Ben and Jerry do make a lovely couple. Chris, the warden said that Cherry was all right with Ben and Jerry getting together, but deep down, she must feel a little unloved. How do you think you'd feel if you were in her position?
I'd feel pretty hurt. I mean, it's a love triangle, basically. Cherry expressed interest in one of the, I can't remember if it was Ben or Jerry, you know, the way they've been named.
It's ridiculous.
But basically, I'd be really cut up. You know, it's a story of unrequited love. Yeah. And I actually think it's a bit heartless the way this warden has just dismissed, you know, the feelings of Cherry.
This is really tragic. I'm really feeling, like you said, pretty cut up about this. And I don't think you could even call it a love triangle. It's a love line. You have a line between Ben and Jerry.
And a dot.
Yeah, and Cherry is just the outlier.
Rotten Cherry now.
Yeah. Tragic.
Rotten Cherry. A Maryland woman has been flown to hospital after she and her lover attached a sex toy to a motorized saw before it was used on the woman. Reportedly, the trouble started when the motorized steel blade cut through the plastic sex toy. According to her police statement, the woman reportedly explained that she sustained the injuries as a result of a consensual act and that she and her partner were just trying something new. Adelaide now labelled this incident as bizarre sexual experimentation. Is that fair?
No, I think it's going too far. I think it's, you know, a perfectly normal practice that most adults probably, you know, have done in their own privacy of their own bedroom. And I think Adelaide now are really overreacting here.
Well, can I just say, feelings of insecurity and inadequacy are going to roam free now. I mean, what the hell is a man in the situation meant to think? It's like, oh, you know, my lady friend needs something attached to a saw.
Is this a chainsaw? Right. These people attached such an item to a chainsaw. I mean, how do people think that's going to end?
Well, apparently they're actually from the circus, Tim, but before they attempted that with the chainsaw, they were actually juggling it.
Right.
Yeah, just the one chainsaw. They're not very good yet.
British company director Gary Saunders was reportedly stopped by police for laughing too much while driving after he had laughed at a joke told by his brother-in-law over a hands-free phone. After Saunders stopped the car, the police officer reportedly spent half an hour questioning Saunders and proceeded to accuse him of throwing his head back in a dangerous way, before eventually being forced to let Saunders continue on his way. However, the police officer subsequently required Saunders to produce his driver's license and other documents to a police station for inspection. Chris is laughing hilariously in the background. Tim, you're often accused of laughing too much while driving. Have you ever borne the brunt of police brutality while on the road?
I have not. I've managed to escape this draconian treatment of joviality.
Oh, that's because you don't really drive much.
And not in Britain.
Also because, yeah, you don't live in the UK.
Can I just say, lock him up and throw away the key. I mean, what the fuck is this British guy doing? You know, what's he doing getting off being all happy and jovial and laughing? He's British. He should be dour and humourless and grey.
More to the point, guys.
Bland.
When Casey pointed to me laughing, I was actually laughing. My head was tilted back in a dangerous way, and I knocked the mic as a result. So if that's what happens in a radio studio, imagine what happens at the, you know, behind the wheel of a car.
It's irresponsible. Hands at 9 and 3, or is it 10 and 2? I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. Russell Lingua says 9 and 3. You know.
Well, I've done exactly one driving lesson, and it said I was told 10 and 2.
Russell Lingua, Casey.
Moving on. Georgia's entry in the Eurovision Song Contest, We Don't Want to Put In, has been ruled unacceptable by organisers because it appears to poke fun at Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, and political content is not allowed in the competition. The song, performed by disco-funk trio 3G, and contains the lyrics, "We don't want to put in the negative move, it's killing the groove," as part of the chorus, would have been especially controversial because the contest is due to be hosted in Russia this year. Guys, I know Georgia and Russia were involved in a violent conflict a few months ago. Don't you think it's possible that this might be just a disco jive rather than a political jibe?
I think definitely. I mean, look, I just think, you know, it's a fun piece of music. It's really quite funky.
Good quality. It's good quality stuff.
Music. Like, really, really top flight. And, you know, could win an international Grammy or two. And I just don't see the fuss.
No, can I just say, guys, I don't think I'm alone here. I don't get the joke. They don't want to put what in. They don't want to put it in what. I don't understand.
I think it's the a play on his name. I don't. We don't want.
But his name is Vladimir. We don't want a Vlad. What? Yeah.
From now until March 23, the Pompidou Centre in Paris is hosting a retrospective exhibition of 51 years of exhibitions without exhibits by 9 different artists, according to The Independent. According to the British broadsheet, the exhibition titled Voids, a Retrospective, will occupy 5 rooms in the French Museum of Modern Art, each of which will remain entirely empty. The retrospective exhibition of Nothing Whatsoever even has a 500-page catalogue, which is reasonably priced at €39. Security will also remain as tight for Voids. Security will also remain as tight for Voids as any other exhibition. As The Independent explained, the guards watch suspiciously to make sure that the visitors do not touch anything, or in this case, that they do not touch nothing. Now, guys, apparently the chance to display the exhibition later has been refused by several other leading modern art galleries. Are they out of their friggin' minds?
I think they are. I mean, you know, like, why would you refuse such a wonderful exhibition? I'm a bit of, you know, I quite like art, and I'd be quite happy to see it in Adelaide if top flight organisations don't want it.
Oh, these maximalist jerks. I mean, if they were actual minimalist, if it was a true minimalist exhibition, there'd be no exhibition at all.
And no building. Probably it would be held nowhere.
Well, it wouldn't be talked about. Wouldn't have to pay €39.
There'd be no press release.
There'd be no catalogue.
They'd charge you more, though. I think this is a good example of exploiting the free market. €39 for 500 pieces of paper.
They're betraying their art, Tim.
CNN reports that scientists from the US are developing a laser gun designed specifically to kill mosquitoes. The weapon, called by some a, quote, weapon of mosquito destruction, locks onto mosquitoes by picking up on their vibrating wings and then fires a laser, frying the insect. According to the project's chief scientist, Dr. Jordan Kerr, the weapon can sweep the area and, quote, toast millions of mosquitoes in a few minutes. Are you concerned about Darth Vader getting his hands on this laser gun?
Darth Vader isn't a real person, Casey. That's a silly question.
But seriously, guys, I've been trying to figure out how this works because the story we read was very scant on details. I have just images of a very large robot just whirring around firing lasers. In effect, apparently, that's what it does.
Well, yeah, basically, I think we all have in our head, I know I did, an image of like Sigourney Weaver and aliens in the giant yellow exo suit that eventually shot the alien. I mean, we are struggling
to hold back laughter. Chased by a horde of mosquitoes.
My image was just of like an extendo straw like structure. If you listen to Illuminati, you might know that there's this straw that like locks onto a drink and then shoots in. That's how I see it.
And do listen to Illuminati, by the way, guys. But
Thursday nights.
What a hilarious story.
Yeah, I think what I particularly like is how this software is set up, not just with a laser, but it's actually set up specifically to lock on to and then toast mosquitoes.
This is definitely my favourite story of the night.
Absolutely.
Of the year.
A 30-year-old chimpanzee at Furuvik Zoo in Sweden has been observing fashioning and stockpiling discs from concrete and later throwing them at visiting tourists. According to New Scientist magazine, some feel this provides definite proof that the apes are capable of forward planning. Typically, the chimp Santino collects the rocks before the zoo opens and piles them on the side of his enclosure, which faces visitors, then throws them at tourists as they arrive in the morning. As a Swedish academic commented, the chimp has without exception been calm during gathering or manufacture of the ammunition, in contrast to the typically aroused state when he throws the rocks. While a zoo caretaker described the situation as somewhat alarming as an ongoing Cold War, he further went on to explain that because chimpanzees have a poor aim and throw underarm, few serious injuries have occurred. Matteo, you're behind the spate of rocks that were thrown through car windows a couple of years back. Where is Santino falling down in his attempts to take out tourists?
Well, I think his first problem is that he's a monkey. He's a friggin' monkey.
Chimpanzee.
He's an ape. Okay, fine, he's an ape. I apologise to all monkeys and apes out there. Look, of course he can't do it well because he's an ape. He's in Sweden. Just go to IKEA or something. Get it done for you.
I don't think you can begrudge him monkeying around, Matteo. It's in his nature.
Aping around. He's aping around.
Pretty sure that's not a verb.
Neither of them are verbs.
North Korea has announced plans to launch a satellite into space next month, according to the International Maritime Organization. North Korea claims that sometime between the 4th and 8th of April, it will launch an experimental communication satellite and has provided information containing danger areas for shipping. South Korean and US officials, however, believe that the launch is a veiled attempt to test Taipodong 2 missile, which some report could theoretically reach Alaska. Their suspicions were raised following several reports in recent weeks that the North means to test the missile in the near future. The North Koreans have reportedly asserted that they have a right to peaceful space research and say that any attempt to shoot down the rocket will be seen as an act of war. Do they have a legitimate case in this respect?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it can reach Alaska, they're saying, right? I mean, from there, it's just like a small hop, skip, and a jump to Russia, right? We all know how close they are. I mean, Well, why stop? The North Korea and Russia, pretty chummy, right?
And Mateo, but the thing is, North Korea, if it can reach Alaska, it can certainly reach Japan and South Korea and Hong Kong, Taiwan. I mean, key strategic allies.
The Japanese can just use their mosquito rays against the North Koreans.
Let's leave it there for rapid fire news today.
Hi, this is Liz from the Games Club. We're down at O Week on the lawns at the Bar Smith. And we're here for O Week, and this is Student Radio.
And Mateo's just run out of the studio during that song.
Yeah, he's a bit of an animal lover, Mateo. And you might remember that in Rapid Fire News, there was a story about blue ducks. Mating the female blue duck was left pretty lonely. He told me he was actually going to go comfort the blue ducks.
Comfort the female one.
The female one, yeah. So, I mean, you know.
He's always got the soft spot. He's got that maternal. Small, cute animals. Yeah. He's got to be the thing for them.
Well, hopefully, we wish him luck, and I suppose we'll hear him back in a few minutes. Mm.
And another story we're talking about in Rapid Fire News.
Right, yeah. The Eurovision Song Committee, like the committee that decides which entrants are allowed into the competition, as you might remember, banned the Georgian song by, I think it was 3G featuring Stefan.
We don't want to put in,
right. Mm. And I think we actually, during our last song break...
Yeah, we had a caller who wanted to put his viewpoint on the issue across.
He wants to put his view in, yeah.
Yes, yes. Vladimir Putin, do we have you on the line?
Gentlemen, yes you do. I congratulate you on success of your fine radio show, which is making waves all across...
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Putin.
You are indeed a friend of the program.
Oh, this is most wonderful news to hear. It makes me very happy.
Mr. Putin, this story about 3G and the Georgian Eurovision... entry has been making the rounds. Is there any truth to the rumours that you were responsible for the cancellation of their entry?
Ha! McCarthy, I notice you are very careful to call me Mr. Putin this time. As for a question, yes, I was responsible for the cancellation of the Georgian entry.
Can I ask? I mean, because I'd say it's an interesting song. Would you say that your reasons are political or musical?
Political? I have not a political bone in my body. Reasons were strictly musical. The song is terrible. The song is terrible. The writing is poor. Everything is poorly done about it. When I hear music, I want to hear passion, and I want to hear inspiration. And this I heard schmaltzy disco funk that would not sound out of place in one of many seedy Russian nightclubs.
Yeah, well, you could say that, and that's surely your opinion, but what about the effort the 3G have gone to produce this song? I mean, the writing, the choreography?
Effort. my Medvedev could have come up with better effort than this, and he is no more than marionette.
That's a big statement there, Mr. Putin.
There's no secrets.
Okay. What do you suggest Georgia do in its place for Eurovision, then? They've put all this effort into making We Don't Want to Put In. Do they have time to write another song?
Oh, well, I think we should think less about entry from Georgia, which, of course, Georgia not going to win competition, and more about entry from South Ossetia. Of course, Ossetia, now sovereign state, recognised by all important European states. I feel we should be concentrating on their entry.
Mr. Putin, if I could just jump in there. If one of our guests says something defamatory on air, we actually get in trouble too, so I had to stop you there. I can actually understand this is a personal dig at you, and so, you know, as a friend of the program, I'd like to ask you, give you the chance to say whether the sentiment of 3G's song hurts you personally. Like, are you offended by the fact that they don't want to put in?
I'm afraid I blustered. I do not understand your question. When you ask, am I hurt by sentiment that Georgians do not want to put in. I'm confused. I'm confused by your meaning. They do not want to put in what? I'm confused.
I think you'll find in English there might be a hidden meaning there. Put in.
Put in.
Well, we'll leave that to the listeners to decide for themselves.
Gentlemen, we are speaking the same language, yet not understanding one another.
That is a common cultural problem. Now, there are a few other things, like about the song that I don't quite... Like, there are some features of it, like... Okay, basically, look, let's be honest here. Last time we spoke, many of the listeners might not have heard it, it was on an early version of the show, perhaps the origin of Left, Right and Centre, Chameleon. And there was some news that came out that said you were a big ABBA fan. That's right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep. Now, it also came up that you knew all of the words to Super Trooper. Would you like to sing us a few bars of that, just to leave us with?
I tell you what, gentlemen, I will sing a version of Super Trooper that is most popular in my mother Russia. It goes, Super Trooper, Super Trooper, you bring glory to mother Russia. The blood on your hands is of enemy combatants. It is wonderful. It warms all of our hearts.
Thank you very much, Mr. Putin, for that.
Thank you.
No problem, sirs.
Look, it's been great having you on the show. We'd love to talk to you again sometime.
Well,
unfortunately, we are running out of time. We have to move on.
We simply must do it once more, soon.
Thank you very much, Mr. Putin, for speaking to us tonight.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good
that,
man.
That was Vladimir Putin. And that demonstrates the perils of asking someone to sing on radio.
Mm.
Never again.
We're coming to the end of the show.
Yep. Hey, guys, what did I miss? I missed the last bit
because
I went to consult with Cherry. Well, look, she's pretty down about it. I mean, because the thing is, I was torn between heartbreak, really, on her behalf and laughing. I mean, like, it looks like...
The name's Ben and Jerry, or...?
Looks like it's going to be the end of the blue duck species.
Yes.
Alas, alas. But yeah, guys, what did I miss?
Not much, really.
I just came into the studio and I heard some, like, really, really nice singing. Like, we're talking Australian Youth Choir.
Yeah.
It was pretty good, but other than that, you know, it was just some... Much. It was just a caller.
Just some yobbo caller.
We got caller. We didn't know how to cover the show.
It's not the first time I've missed a caller, guys.
Mm.
Oh,
anyway,
well.
We won't it's 1 a.m. We need to wrap up because it's almost time for the BBC.
But we've enjoyed being with you tonight. And
I hope you've enjoyed being with us.
Being with us, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be back in, 167 hours for you. Yeah. I don't know why I'm doing that today.
No, I like it.
I like it too.
167 hours until the next episode of Left, Right and Centre. In the meantime, what you can do is get onto the Facebook group Left, Right and Centre. We do read everything you write there.
Yeah.
You can also email us, leftrightandcentre@live.com.au. We do read everything you write there.
You can read the Student Radio blog.
Yeah, you can read the Student Radio blog. Yeah. studentradio.wordpress.com. You read everything we write there.
Yeah.
You can also leave comments on the blog. We read everything you write there.
Look, we really have nothing better to do.
Basically, we read everything you write.
All right, so what, guys, should we extraduce ourselves?
Let's extraduce ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm Casey, extraducing myself on the Left, Right and Centre team.
I'm Timothy, and I refuse to use made up words.
Matteo, signing off, extraducing.
I'm Chris, but I don't have anything to say.
Okay.
I mean,
let's leave you tonight with... no longer the Georgian entry for the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah.
This is We Don't Want to Put In.
You really have to see it on YouTube.
We'll post a link up on our blog, guys.
Check it out. There's bubbles and there's moustache and there's pelvic thrusting and there's dancing.
So we'll just give you a taster, yeah?
Here's the song. Check out the video.
And good night.
Good night.
See you next week.
So, Chris, how do you think the show went today? Chris. 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 What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm eating a brownie.
Ask your... A brownie? Where'd you get the brownies from?
Oh, Lewin made them. Didn't you know?
No.
Well, because you remember last week in the outro, I said I really didn't like Lewin. He was, you know, he's never been nice to me.
Well, he just
ignores
hasn't.
Me on the street. Well, it turns out, you know, like he listened, and he's responded. You know, like, and he made me brownies, and I was really, it was lovely of him.
That's very nice.
I was touched. You know,
So he's repented in your eyes?
That's definitely the situation has been resolved. I think.
Excellent. Now, the other thing we talked about last week was you making a list of other people that offended you.
Right.
Did you have anyone that offended you during the week?
Bryce.
Bryce offended you. Why is that?
Well, he didn't make me brownies.
He didn't make you brownies.
I know. I didn't ask him to, but it would have been nice if he
would have been
had.
A nice thought. How could he make it up to you?
Well, I think the answer's obvious, Casey. He could make me brownies.
Okay. So Bryce is on notice as having offended Chris during the week. If you want to repent, Bryce, send in your brownies to Radio Adelaide, 228 North Terrace. Anyone else that's offended you this week?
Matteo, frankly.
Matteo, why is that?
He looks at me strangely when we're in the studio.
No, I've noticed that too. He just looks.
So he does.
He makes eye contact.
Makes eye contact. It's very disconcerting.
Yeah, I just don't like it when that man looks at me.
I don't like it either. I mean, really, it's not just the fact that he looks; it's the fact it's how he looks.
Yeah, but he's got a very ugly face.
A very ugly and sort of quite scary, intimidating, really. Mm. I mean, really, it would almost be better if he... Sat in a box or had like a two-way mirror or something. Mm.
So, yeah, he didn't be able to see us or he'd bump into things.
Yeah. That would be...
We're not cruel people.
We're not cruel
We just want him to cover his appearance.
We do want him to cover his appearance.
Cover his shame.
Cover his shame, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Well,
how could he make it up? Apart from the obvious putting on a box.
Face transplant?
Face transplant?
Or just ignoring, you know, like no eye contact.
Okay.
Just looking down at his shoes. He could be a shoegazer for the night.
Forever.
Forever. Shoegazer for all time, yeah. Well, obviously, you've just listened to Left, Right and Centre, episode 3. What was it called, Casey?
It was called Not Puttin' In.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's a very representative name. If you want to give us some feedback, what can you do?
You can go to the Facebook group, which is Left, Right and Centre.
That is Left, Right and Centre.
You could also go to the email address. Well, not go to... You could use the email address.
Email address, put it into the two sort of
field.
Yeah,
the two colon and there's a little box. You enter in Left, Right and Centre, all one word.
Yeah.
Not all one word, like Left, Right and Centre at live.com.au.
Right.
And then put a subject line in. Put a body in. Sign it with your name. That's nice.
That is a nice touch. We'd like then, to know who we're hearing from.
Maybe even a suburb, if you like.
That would be an address, perhaps.
An address, perhaps a phone number.
And maybe even the time when you're home, so that we can turn up and rob your house afterwards.
Yep.
When you're
a credit card.
Credit card details, that's always good.
That might be enough
with. That's enough to go on with, I think. Yeah.
So, and then click send.
Don't
click save draft. That we won't actually get it then. So click send then.
Right. And we also have a website, studentradio.wordpress.com.
We do.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend putting your credit card details in there because
the whole world will see that. And
whereas
you can trust us. Yeah,
you
we're lovable
trust
lads.
The world. We're lovable lads. Yeah. I think that's really all we've got time for. Obviously, it was a brilliant show. Obviously, you wish
Super
we'd
mega
talk
brilliant.
For about, you know, another 3 hours, which I think I'd be quite capable
Well, I think
of
as soon as
do.
We turn the mics off, we'll keep talking.
We'll keep talking for a few hours, yeah. And maybe if you really, really want us to actually keep the mics on in future for that additional hour, write in and tell us.
Mm.
Maybe we will.
We'll email you personally.
That's the thing. We'll email you personally with the 3 hour sound file. So, crap chat. Yeah, well, whatever. Let's not be harsh, but we might do that. It might ruin your inbox. You might be completely flooded, but that's what happens.
Goodbye.
Cheerio.